Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 11 in our teaching series, The Third Side in the Clash of Three Kingdoms, titled, Lord, I Am Willing, Part 3. Our teacher is Alan Smith.
It's called For the Battle of Dominion. I've been teaching on dominion. What does it mean to walk into dominion with God? It's taking God up on His Word. Last week or so, we went over which is more important, the spirit in which you say something or the words that are being spoken. Not for one to take away from another, but they're both very important. How you say it and what you say go together to complete the package. But the spirit in which something is given is what brings power to the words. And so as we move forward with that in mind, I want us to see something here. The battle is more about us finding the will of God. Now, as we're moving forward, keep in mind this chasm or this gulf that's between us and God on this resurrecting morning. This battle for us is to find the will of God. First place of finding the will of God, of course, is salvation. It would be that it's God's heart that all men be saved, right? He would have us all to be saved and come into a relationship with Him. But we see in Corinthians here, for I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. In other words, before He could deliver, He had to what? He has to receive. So we see part of my goal in this first service is to teach us how to walk in the Spirit, how to commune with God in a spiritual world. There are there instruction on how do we, if we're just a bystander and we never get involved in this world of the unseen or the spiritual world, then what I am saying will seem to be kind of vague. If you are walking in the Spirit, it's still going to be hard to understand, because it takes you in relationship with the Spirit. But here we see, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. We see that He delivered something, but He had to receive it first. That Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. So what did He receive? He received the gospel that Jesus died for our what? Sins according to Scripture. And that He was buried and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas or Peter, then by the 12. After that, He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep or died. After that, He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, He was what? Seen by me. Also, as by one born out of what? Due time. Now, as a believer, I want you to consider something. You're sitting here in this church house under the sound of my voice, and none of you planned this 10 years ago. A lot of you today are born again. You didn't plan that. Matter of fact, you will walk around with this feeling that you have been born out of due time. Now, the reason that you feel like you're born out of due time is because Paul was a prophetic deliverer of what he received. In other words, he was born out of due time. In other words, what he carried was before its time. So God has put in us something that is to be delivered before its time. Are you with me? Now, this is in the will of God that we are carrying this message, and there are people out there that it's their time to receive this. Now, if you feel like you're, I haven't seen a believer yet that didn't feel a little bit like, this just isn't what I had planned. Is anybody with me? This is just not quite what I had planned, but here I find myself in this due time. Now, let's move quickly. Keeping that in mind, Christ made it possible for us to walk and live in the will of God. So is it possible to walk in the will of God? The answer is yes. And Christ is the one who made this possible. Now, there's something I want you to see. This is Easter Sunday, Resurrected Sunday. But I want us to keep, I want us to look at something, because this is exactly what I was going into next. Now, Christ made it possible for us to walk and live in the will of God. We know that He died on the cross. We know that He was what? He resurrected from the dead, right? There was resurrection of Christ. Now, the life of Christ is not something out yonder. The life of Christ is here, hither. All right? It's not out there. It's here. So did it really happen? The answer is yes. But it can happen again here. Right? Something happens. So the spiritual side of this equation is it happens here. Now, we're reading about a story, resurrected Christ. All of this is true. And it is historically true. But it is to be true, or can be true, here in me. Now, this has everything to do with the will of God. Everything to do with the will of God in my life and in your life. Now, let's watch this. So we've got the resurrected Christ. We see here He was on the cross and He died. And then He rose from the dead. That's our message this day. Now, there was this issue about a crown of thorns. An issue about a crown of thorns. Okay, put a crown on the guy. Why thorns? Why stick it in his head? Prophetically speaking, the crown of thorns, estimated 70-some thorns, the crown of thorns is because the battleground for dominion is in the mind. It's right here. It's all of these thorns. So Christ takes the crown of thorns and turns it into material of the battle. There's a transformation to take place in the renewing of the mind. Why a crown of thorns? I hope you never see it differently again. It's because the battle's here for dominion. To walk into this spiritual dominion that we can't see, but we know's there. But God doesn't hold it and dangle it at a distance that we cannot partake and see. He says we can see. Now, it's in this seeing that we find the will of God. Outside of that, we're just guessing. I want you to consider this. It was God's will to build a bridge for mankind to walk into His kingdom. Now, that's what we were talking about. The chasm. Right, there's a gulf in between us and God. So Christ laid down His life, made a bridge for us to walk over this gulf that's between us. That was Christ. So God built this bridge. God created this bridge. God made it possible for us to get from here to there. Now, there's one thing to walk across the bridge, and there's another thing to walk across the bridge and to live like you're on the other side of the bridge. You're in a state of confusion. It'd be best to go back across the other side of the bridge where your language makes sense. Because the old man language doesn't make sense in a new man's world. Now, let's watch this. Now, everybody, I'm going to say this way, everybody has their nails. There again, Christ, this is about a story 2,000 years ago, but it's now about right here. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, what part of Christ? All of Christ, which is the nails of Christ. Anybody felt like they've been nailed to a cross in life? Of course. It's identifying with Christ. It says, we want all of Christ. We just didn't know what all we were meaning. Now, there's one thing we have all been, we've all got our nails. We've all got our scars. We've all been mistreated, spit upon. We've all, people's things have come against our minds. And everyone has their nails just like Christ. Now I'm going to put this one up there. Everyone has a cross to carry. You've heard that said. We all have our cross to carry and our burdens to carry, these crosses of life. A lot of life is sad. Does anybody notice that? Evidently not. I got some extra sad I'll give you at the door when we leave. Keep it. Thank you very much. It wouldn't look good on you anyway. We all have our sad. We all have our nails. We all have our cross. Not only that, we're supposed to. If we're going to identify with this Christ, the life of Christ, why did Christ go to the cross? So he could identify with mankind's pain. God knew he had created it, all of mankind, but he was going to walk through it with us and for us. Very important, very important. Now, let's move on a little further. Then there are some that know him in the power of his resurrection. Now, we got the nails, we got the cross, but then we got what's called the resurrection. Are you with me? Is everybody with me? Wiggle your hands and your toes. Wake up, everybody. Is everybody with me? We have what's called the power of the resurrection. Now, it's okay to be nailed to a cross, and it's okay to be sad and carry a cross. But I'll be dead blame if I'm staying there.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. Huh? Can you feel the Holy Ghost right there? The intentions is not for us to stay there. Now listen, I can put my nail and my cross up against anybody's. We'll see who had the biggest nails and the biggest cross contest. Right? That's not where the victory is. The victory comes in the resurrection. So as Christians, we got our burdens to bear. We got our pain to endure. But we glory in the cross of the resurrection of Christ Jesus. Everyone in here, I hear some people say, well, I'm an addict. Well, let me tell you something. Everybody in here is an addict. Wow, that went over like a lead balloon. Everybody's addicted to something other than God. You just are. I don't know why I said that. Does anybody know why I said that? Okay, let's move on. Okay. There's some that know him by the power of his resurrection. Now, when we know Christ, and this has everything to do with the will of God, knowing the will of God, when and where do we know the will of God? We live through the will of God and the nails and the cross, but when we walk in the powers of the resurrection, we have the power of the cross. So it's important that we move on. Now, where's the battle? It's right here. It's right here. Some people will stay on the cross or in the tomb. Some people will keep complaining on their circumstances. Then there are some that know him in the power of his resurrection. Are you with me? So to move into the will of God, it just so happens you've got to move into the power of the resurrection, because I've got to get us into the power side of the cross.
Right.
Now, the pain of the nails and the endurance and all that's good and fancy and all the above. But God didn't create it for us to live there.
That's right.
We're not supposed to live there. We're to move through there. We're to taste it. Now, to move into the power of his resurrection is a choice. There again, you can brag about your cross and brag about your nails. And they're all true. They're all true. But if you live there and stay there, you're wanting the sympathy for yourself. You're not wanting to walk into victory, which is a selfish response. Now, when we walk into the power of the cross and we start seeing the will of God, you'll find it's not about you. It's not about us. It's about us delivering and carrying this message that the Apostle Paul talked about. He said, I bring it and I give it to you. So in this church house, we're wanting people to come in here and we're wanting to carry a message and give it away. Whether it be salvation, whether it be healing, just whatever the need is, it's on God's menu. Did you know that? It is on God's menu. And I said, I've been told before that God's not doing some things today. I said, well, somebody forgot to inform God. See, there's a problem with God. When God says something, it turns into law. So God has never said anything he had to take back. It just all works into his plan. Are you with me? So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about God changing his mind on that. He just speaks and it happens. So here's what I want you to catch. We're wanting to walk and to move into the power of the resurrection. That means a lot of us are going to have to really have a big, huge change in attitude. We have discovered this attitude of the tomb, this attitude of the cross, this attitude of the nails, but we're scared to death of the attitude of the resurrection. If we really grab hold of this attitude of the resurrection, the world needs to be scared. To get hold of God's people walking in the power of the resurrection. You know, it's easier to live in a world of defeat. I mean, the attitude just comes natural. If you walk in the power of the resurrection, the attitude has to be worked on. Yeah, that's right. You got to practice. I mean, you're going to have to stand in front of the mirror, some people, and practice smiling. It's going to be so foreign to the face that it's going to take a little practice sessions here. Now, to walk out of that tomb requires a decision. It's there, but we have to decide to walk into it. It didn't just happen. It's available. Resurrection was made available to Christ, and resurrection he took. But resurrection is where we're all to walk into, and there's a reason. The resurrection is not the end, but the beginning. The tomb's the end. The resurrection is the new beginning. And it's in that new beginning that the will of God is found. Why? Because they're new with God every morning. And he walks as we walk into it. Now, let's move forward here. There has to be a decision made to walk in the resurrection. When we do, then God will supply what? Resurrection power. And what we're looking for here, and I also know you are, is more of resurrection power. We're looking for people to get in those baptismal waters and be healed. We're looking for that. We're looking for the resurrected power of Christ. When people walk in these doors, we're looking for the glory to slap them right in the face. That's right. And me first, Lord. Amen? And me first. That when we walk in, you say, well, Alan doesn't have to be in here. No, you go get you somewhere else. I'm calling right here because this place has been prophesied over, prayed upon. We're going to get it here and we're going to export it. That's right. but it's the resurrection power of God. It would be, and I can tell you, I can take a survey right now and see if we're getting any closer. How many people in here, and I will need a raise of hands, but be truthful, this is Resurrected Sunday, you know. How many people in this room were anticipating being at church today and had a little giggle down in them? You know what I'm talking about? Wow, pretty good crowd. Had a little giggle down in here. Yeah, a little giggle. Okay, it's that anticipation. When we come together, we're anticipating that resurrection power of Christ. That's what it is. And it's in that, and as we are in an agreement with it, and I call it the little giggle down within, you can feel it, you start getting happy all over, right? Now, being happy all over doesn't come natural to me. I'm probably a little bit under the needle. On if you did a profile on me, I run a little depressed all the time. So this, what I'm saying right now is kicking me in the hinder parts first before you. Because I know that the world that we're in today, I've been running just a little depressed for the last 12 months, but I know the spiritual atmosphere that I'm in is to create that, is to create just a little bit of despair, a little bit of hopelessness. We're in an atmosphere, you know, everybody's got to stay 6 feet or 10 feet or whatever, put on a mask here and there and there. You know, everything about it's not normal or natural, and it causes a little bit of depression. I was talking to God about that. See if he knew what was going on down here.
He was aware.
And I said, don't you think we need a little help? He said, yeah, I could too. And I said, well, Lord, we're going to need more of your resurrection power to overcome the atmosphere in which we're in, please, if you could give it. And he spoke to me and said, ask and you shall receive.
Amen.
That's what he said. And then I got a little scared. Have y'all ever had a little more God? I have. He gave me a little thimbleful one time, like to kill me. But we are living in a time that the resurrected power of Christ is of utmost, got to be turned up a notch. God will turn it up if he can find vessels he can turn it up in. And I'm just trying to give the spiritual science here, I call it. I'm just trying to explain to you, here's what's going on, here's what we need, and here's how we get it. That's what I'm trying to do. And I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you what I just told you. Because I believe he's willing and waiting to pour out upon his people more of that prophecy of Joel. That he wants to pour out more of his spirit. Do you believe there's more of his spirit yet to be poured out upon us than we have received?
Yes.
By all means. By all means. The only thing we have to acknowledge is we are in some, I mean, I've tried my best to say everything's good, everything's, hey, let's go on. I've tried to pat this thing everywhere you can pat it, and I'm going to tell you something, we're in a mess. We're just in a mess in this world. We're in a cotton-picking mess. So, here we're in a dilemma. We're going to have to be more of a mess for Jesus than the mess we live in. We've just got to be. Because there's a world out there that's in the mess that we're seeing. And it just so happens we're like Paul. We got a message. We got something we're going to carry to people. And it's the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ is powerful because it has resurrection power. It's just that the people of God need to come into an identity with this resurrection power of Christ and say, okay, God, here we are, pour on. Knock us over if you have to. Do whatever we need, oh God. But let us walk in your resurrection power that we might know the will of God. Because I've already taught you how we can know the will of God. But I'm also showing you how we can't stay nailed to a cross and we can't stay in a tomb. We've got to come out of the other side of this thing resurrected. And that's walking in power and joy of the Holy Ghost. That's not allowing what somebody says might hurt your feelings, but come on, somebody. Have your feelings not been hurt enough? This makes me want to. I mean, mind the more. If you want to compare crosses and burdens and all that. Mind the more, but it's so distracting. It's okay to get your feelings hurt, but it's okay to say, God, I forgive them. And let's God, give me the strength to heal right quickly. I need about a 3-minute heal job here, and let's move on, right? Because there's something to do. The distractions of the enemy, it's that crown of thorns I was telling you about. The crown of thorns upon his head. It's just the enemy sticking everything it can, trying to make us bleed, trying to penetrate our brains with all of these things that are bad. And you can say it's part of your cross or it's part of your nails. But we can choose to walk in the power of the resurrection. And I hate to say it, but we've got better at carrying our burdens than we have walking in the power. Amen. Let me make an announcement. It's time to walk in the power.
Come on.
On this resurrected Sunday.
Every
believer in this place, we can't do it if anybody opts out. We got to have all in for this to take place. So we want to see this as resurrection power. Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the what? Power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Wow. Amen. Restoration is restoring things and people back into the will of God through resurrection power. Can you get a hold of that? Now, this is words. I know this is words on the screen. But there is spiritual meaning and power behind these words. And when you read them and you feel a witness in you that says, oh, that's true. Well, just say back, I receive these words of truth into my heart. I receive them. Because there's things going on here that we can't see. Restoration is restoring things and people back into the will of God through the resurrection power. When we come in this room, we're not looking for my will or your great idea or my great idea. Do y'all realize how many great ideas there's been on the planet Earth for Jesus? He's not looking for a great idea. Jesus will take the worst idea if we'll just come together in unity and create a masterpiece out of our little idea. Out of our little idea. It's not the big idea. It's not the greatest idea. It's the willing heart that Christ looked for. Not the great idea. Please don't look up here and say, well, if he'd just preach it that way or they would preach it that way, or if they would just sing this song. Well, go out in the streets and sing it if you think it's going to change the world, right? We think if we just do it, and I've said this before, but we treat God like he's King Kong. If we'll get just the right pretty woman set in front of him, then run, maybe he'll show up. Right? If we just get the right little thing, then God will show up. Well, God's here. He's waiting for us to show up. He's here. Waiting for us to show up. And the question is if we will show up with enough guts to say, God, give us your resurrection power, that we might truly be condemned of being your peculiar people. I would like to be condemned for the power of the cross instead of just talking like a hick. I got a witness right there. Okay. Therefore, we are never to give up on anyone. If we do, we will lose our anointing. Now, I've said that one a couple weeks ago, but here's what you got to catch. The anointing is given to you, a measure of anointing, when you receive Christ. Now, please see this. Here's humanity. Here's humanity. Here's all to my left, all to the right, and here's all of humanity. The anointing of God is found beyond that. It's right on the other side. In other words, you've got to love all the world. You got to love all the world. You got to have a compassion. You can't exclude here. And why can you not? Because the anointing's right on the other side of that. So if you exclude at one person, that's how far your anointing goes. You know, you got to, how much do you love Christ? Bible says as much as you love the least of the brethren. So right now, pick out in your mind the person you think the least of. Y'all want this test or not? Consider the person you think the least of, and according to scriptures, that's how much you love Christ. Now, I'll go back to my original idea. You can't give up on anybody because the anointing's right beyond that. And if we realize our capabilities of including this vast group of humanity and the anointing, the resurrection power, Jesus died to save the sins of the world. So if you're going to identify with resurrection power, you got to get on the program. It's all of humanity. Racism doesn't even enter this conversation. I don't care if you got five toes on one foot and four on the other. It doesn't make any difference. Can anybody see where we're going? So, if we do, I say we lose our anointing. Let's just say your anointing stops right there. You've expanded your basis there. And there's more scripture for that. Supernatural restoration of the will of God. It's in Psalm 51:12. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold within me a what? Okay, now here we go. I talked about the will of God. Now I'm talking about us having a willing spirit. Now, there's two different wills here. It's a will of God and a willing spirit. So you're sitting there under the sound of my voice, and there's got to be somebody in here that doesn't fully have a willing spirit towards God. So it's talking about here a willing spirit. David is saying, create in me a spirit. Heaven must receive him until the times, it says in Acts, comes from God to do what? To restore everything. So we see that God's going to restore everything. So you can understand now why I say if you're going to be in the will of God, you got to include everybody. Why? Because he says here he's going to restore all things. Here we go. First thing to be restored in the will of God. I went over this some last week. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold me with your what? With your what? Free spirit. So here we see that the little giggle down in you is the joy of your salvation. And if you're going to be free in the Lord, it's of necessity. Or you're not free. You're doing it out of a wrong spirit. Joy, gladness, restoration all go together. The joy of the Lord is our strength, Nehemiah 8:10. Now here's the deal. We got an atmosphere out here. This atmosphere that we're living in today is completely terrible. It's horrendous. It's awful. It's all of the above. But it requires, I say requires, it requires that believers' joy is greater than how bad it is out here. Why? Because we're going to combat the enemy, and I'm going to show you this in just a minute. Joy is a what? Explosion of anointing. Joy is the explosion of anointing. Does anybody feel like your joy has been attacked in the last 12 months? Yes. Of course it has. Our joy level. And joy is a... Hopefully I could get into that and show you how that's a spiritual barometer, but not today. The will of God comes through His anointing through resurrection power. It says it in 1 John. But the anointing which you have received from Him does what? Now, is that a lie or is it the truth? It's the truth. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in what? In Him. So when we abide in Him, the will of God is shown to us. Amen. Through the anointing. But the anointing abides in you. You'll not need, you'll know what the will of God is for your life. You don't need somebody to come up and tell you what the will of God is for your life. You should know what that will of God is. But we must abide in Him. It's not optional. The will of God comes through His anointing. It's in Luke. Jesus quoted from Isaiah 61:1-2 and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me Because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are what? Who are oppressed. Now, do you think it's the will of God to accomplish that verse?
Yes.
Yes. So that now you have the anointing to accomplish the will of God. Now here we go. There's payback when the will of God is stolen. I've went over another verse before. Can the will of God be stolen from your life? The answer is yes. Men do not despise a thief who steals because he is hungry, but the thief who is caught must restore how much? Sevenfold, it is told. Satan is the thief, and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10, he will be required to restore seven times as much as he has stolen. Now, so in the restoration, now the reason I've got this one in there, we in our own minds and spirit, we can't think big enough. We just can't do it. We're wanting to fix something that's leaking. God says, no, no, I want to restore it better than when it was new. How much better? Seven times better.
Right?
That's just hard for us to get in gear of the will of God. And when we say, well, see, my problem is I felt like, and I had a conversation with God on it, and I'll not go into it, but I lost the conversation once again. But I told God, I said, God, how can we get up there and say you'll do all this stuff? I mean, it's easy if you're sitting there, you'll be up here. I said, God's going to do all this stuff. He's going to heal you, and he's going to do this, and he's going to restore you, and he's going to do seven times. You're like, oh, I'm like, God, how can you expect me to do that? He said, I'm not expecting you to do anything. So all of a sudden, I discovered he doesn't expect me to do anything. Why? Because this is his promises that I'm revealing, not my promises. So when we speak or live, it is really hard to live out of somebody else's mouth. I didn't say that real eloquently, did I? Did you get it? Okay. That is really hard to do. But it just so happens with God, it can become a practice for us, a practice that we live by. Listen, I've caught on a little bit, and it's really fun. I'm promising more than I've got. So let's move on. God's will is, when God's will is restored, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing will come from God's presence, he will send Jesus, which was preached to you, and God has spoken of restoration through his prophets since the world began. Now, here's what happens. How many people want this? How many people want this spiritual restitution with God?
Yes.
So you see, there's some things in my life that's not being converted yet. I just have to be the big boy and say it. There's some things in my life that I haven't been fully converted. In other words, to me, in my brain, it's a good idea, but my heart is not changed. For some reason, I think if I think it, I am it. But I'm not it. That's King James redneck. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking just because I think it, I am it, but I can look around me and I don't see the fruit of it. So I think there's a problem. Yeah, there's a problem, all right. It hadn't went from here to here. There's one thing to think it and to know it. It's another one to believe it and walk in it. How do you know that you truly believe it? It's because it's your response. It's an automatic response. Ever what you automatically respond with God, God's will, you know you got it in the heart. But if you got to use your brain to get it out, it's coming out of your brain. Oh, I got to stop here. What are we being restored with? Your life, your joy, and living in dominion with God and reflecting his character, restoring the earth in resurrection power. All right, there you go. That's right. Now, that's a big statement for me to say. I'm like, God, how can I say that? I'll tell you how I can say that, because I just did. is out of full obedience to His will. That's how I can say that. Am I looking for that to happen? I want to tell you something. At 60 years old, I've seen it happen. I've already seen it happen. And I want to see it happen again. Yeah. And now just between you and me and the rock and the hard place, if we don't see this happen more in this atmosphere that we're in, I'm going to feel like, and I'm going to say, God, we got to have more of Your resurrection power at New Life on the side of this little road down here. We pray and ask for such power of resurrection power that it would be greater than what the dark side, darkness, has to offer. That's all. Lord, we pray that if they're running 10 miles an hour, we can at least run 11. Amen. Let us stay ahead of the enemy is my prayer. God, put something in us. And whatever needs to be converted in me yet, Your truth needs to be conversion. I confess, oh God, right now before these people, I confess, oh God, that my belief in all of Your word is not there yet, but I want it.
Yes.
I want to be totally converted into the resurrection power of Christ.
Yes.
Anybody with me?
I'm with you.
Well, let's stand and we're going to worship. And we're going to take these thoughts, if you will, or these words, and we're going to take them to God this morning. And listen, church, there's going to be a day that it's going to look like a bomb went off in this place, and I'm going to stand up here before you, and I'm going to say, I told you so.
That's right.
Do you hear me, somebody? I'm going to say, I told you so. I told you so. The only thing I can tell you is get ready. It's going to run for over 5 years.
Come on.
It's going to run for over 5 years.
We agree. We agree.
It's going to be heavy for 5 years.
We agree.
There'll be a school birthed out of it.
We agree.
That'll touch the world.
We agree. We agree, God.
I can see it.
We say yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the will of God.
Yes.
That's the will of God. Well, prove it to the God, to the Lord, and let's sing this song and let's worship Him and let's praise it through. Amen and amen.